We're going to continue today in Romans, and I'm going to start off with chapter 4. But I thought before, I always like to start with something that's not necessarily relevant to the word, but something that sort of always has blessed me in the week while I've been preparing. And now you may have seen it and heard of it before. It's called The Brick. And it says, a young, successful executive was travelling down a neighbourhood street, going a bit too fast in his new Jaguar. He was watching for kids darting out from between parked cars and slowed down when he thought he saw something. As his car passed, no children appeared. Instead, a brick smashed into the Jag's side door. He slammed on the brakes and backed the Jag back to the spot where the brick had been thrown. The angry driver then jumped out of the car, grabbed the nearest kid and pushed him up against the parking car, shouting, "What was that all about and who are you? Just what the heck are you doing? That's a new car and that brick you threw is going to cost a lot of money. Why did you do it?" The young boy was apologetic. "Please, mister, please, I'm sorry, but I didn't know what else to do," he pleaded. "I threw the brick because no one else would stop." With tears dripping down his face and off his chin. Sorry, no, I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry, I shouldn't say sorry, I don't mean it. The youth pointed to a spot just behind a parked car. "It's my brother," he said. "He rolled off the curb and fell out of his wheelchair and I can't lift him up." Now sobbing, the boy asked the stunned executive, "Would you please help me get him back into his wheelchair? He's hurt and he's too heavy for me." Moved beyond words, the driver tried to swallow the rapidly swelling lump in his throat. He hurriedly lifted the handicapped boy back into the wheelchair, then took out a fine linen handkerchief and dabbed on the fresh grapes and cuts. A quick look told him everything was going to be okay. "Thank you and may God bless you," the grateful child told the stranger. Too shook for words, the man simply watched the boy push his wheelchair away, round his brother, down the sidewalk towards their home. It was a long, slow walk back to the Jaguar. The damage was very noticeable, but the driver never bothered to repair the dented side door. He kept the dent there to remind him of this message. Don't go through life so fast that someone has to throw a brick at you to get your attention. God whispers in our souls and speaks to our hearts. Sometimes, when we don't have time to listen, he has to throw a brick at us. It's our choice to listen or not. Thought for the day. If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If he had a wallet, your photo would be in it. He sends you flowers every spring. He sends you a sunrise every morning. Face it, friend, he's crazy about you. God didn't promise us days without pain, laughter, without sorrow, sun without rain, but he did promise strength for the day, comfort for the tears, and light for the way. And final thing to remember on this is, if God brings you to it, he will bring you through it. I just love Jesus so much, and you know, I'm here this morning and I'm really sort of struggling about what to say. I've got my words here, but I'm struggling at the moment. Let's read from Romans 4 anyway, and we'll see how we go. So I'm going to read Romans 4. 24, 24, sorry, I'm just going to wipe my eyes first because I can't see. Oh. I'm going to read from the New King James Version. "What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who speaks, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies, the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also described the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Well, we've been looking through Romans and we've got this far. I mean, I should think at the rate we're going, I shall probably not be here, not be with you. I'll hopefully have gone to the Lord by the time that happens. But it's very exciting because that what I read there about having to be sometimes throw a rock at you. Well, you know, to be perfectly honest, God's having to throw a few rocks at me recently to get my attention. When Guy asked me to do this, to get my attention to actually, you know, understand, because it's quite. The thing about Paul is, as I'm sure you're aware, he actually was this phenomenal man of God, phenomenal man of Pharisee. He was a Jew. He was a Roman. You know, he had all the attributes, and he writes these eight verses, and you think, wow, there is so much in those eight verses. You know, there's just so much. And Paul just, the thing I love about Paul is the thing you sense with all of this is, you sense his heart, don't you? His heart is for the people. He wants the people to actually to know his heart. And I'll just go back a bit. In the third chapter of Romans, Paul taught that we might be made right with God by faith and not by keeping and obeying the law of Moses. So what was Paul teaching in chapter 3 was contrary to the beliefs of most people, and it seemed new. So to the sort of Romans and the Jews, this was all new theology that he was teaching. Totally off and brand new. So in chapter 4, 1-8 of Romans, he gives an example of the fact that the Old Testament affirms that we are made right with God by faith. And who better to appeal that than Abraham? Now we know Abraham, he was the forefather of the Jews. They saw him as the man who, from where all the seed came, everything came from Abraham. He was the man who they do. And they looked at Abraham, and the thing they said was, this man is a great man of works. Interestingly enough, they said he was a great man of works. But the problem with works is, as we know, that doesn't get you to heaven. And the problem with justification by works is, as Paul examines how we made right with God, he appeals to the case of Abraham, as I said in verse 1. What then shall we say, he says, of Abraham our fathers? He's found according to the flesh. Then Paul then, in verse 2, gives a typical Jewish answer. If Abraham was justified by works. However, that common belief that Abraham and others are justified by works can be met with two objections. I'll give you two objections this morning. If salvation is by works, then it promotes boasting. Salvation leads to boasting, and if it were true, then it would steal the glory from our Father. And in Isaiah 42, verse 8, it says, "My glory I will not give to another." So there's the first reason that boasting doesn't work. It produces boasting, which means we need that. The second one, if salvation is by works, then it would make God indebted to us. Paul says in verse 4, "Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. If you worked for salvation, God would not be indebted to you." Also, if we received righteousness because of our work, then grace would not be involved. It's like, you know, going to work, isn't it? You go to work for 8 hours, you work yourself to death, and you work yourself hard, and you go to get through the end of the week, and you go to the man and say, "I've earned your pay, you don't need grace in this situation, do you? You actually have, you've earned it. So you don't need grace." But in actual fact, God owes us nothing. In Romans 11:36, "For him and through him and to him are all things. to whom be glory forever. Amen. We are indebted to God, but if salvation is obtained by our works, then God would owe us something as a result of our works. That turns everything around from the very design of God. So Paul teaches here that justification is no way based on human merit. Men are never made right with God based on what they do. You can light as many candles as you like. You can pray all the prayers you want. You can go to all the religious meetings you want. You can get baptized, buy a Bible, take communion, feel religious, perform religious exercises, and even be a very good person. But you still can't attain God's standard of righteousness. How then, as we are made right with God, let's consider the proof of justification by faith. Paul has already stated in chapter 3, 28, that a person is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Now in chapter 4, he sets out to prove his thesis, and what better proof than the scriptures? So Paul says in verse 3, for what does the scripture say? So when we're doing things, we always need to go back, don't we, to the scripture as our baseline. The scriptures. So Jesus, Paul and the other apostles appealed to scripture to prove whatever point they were making. You can count the Bible. You can count on the Bible to tell you the truth. It's the truth, the Bible. It counts on, count on it. Paul quotes, look at the word of God. So what does the scripture say? It says in verse 3, Paul quotes Genesis 15:6, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So this could hardly be clearer that it is the faith of God that makes us righteous before God. So how did he become right with God? It's simple. Abraham believed God. One for a new country. In Genesis 12, we read that God called Abraham from his home in Ur of the Chaldeans to go to a place that God would show him. God promised an inheritance for him there. Since Abraham believed God, he left the land of his birth, forsook his home, and abandoned present security for what others would view as uncertainty. Can you imagine being asked to do that? You know, you're settled in this place, and God says to you, what I'd like you to do now is I'd like you to actually pick up your family, leave all behind, and go to some place that I'm going to show you. And that's real, that's good faith. The second thing was for a child and many descendants. God promised Abraham and Sarah, even though she was too old, that they both would have this child. Again, Genesis 15:6 says that Abraham believed the Lord. In the Hebrew, Abraham literally means, says amen to God's promise. The third thing he believed for was a redeemer. In Genesis 22:18, God promised, in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Adam and Eve brought the curse upon mankind, but God promised that blessing would come through the seed of Abraham. Galatians 3:16 says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds, plural, as of many, but as of one, and to the seed who is Christ. In John 8:56, Jesus said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it was and was glad. His faith in the promised Redeemer, when his divine promise came to Abraham, in spite of the external improbability of it all, fulfillment was necessary and would come to him. He believed God. Do we? Next thing I look at is his faith was credited as righteousness. Notice in the last part of verse 3 that the quotation from Genesis says, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. The word counted, translated accounted, is used 11 times in Romans 4. What does it mean? It means to credit or put to one account, to impute someone. When Abraham believed, God put to his account a righteousness that Abraham did not otherwise possess. When you believe God, when you believe his word and his promises, then the Lord puts a righteousness you don't have into your account. It's a legal act. Also, beginning in verse 6, we see that Abraham was not the only, it was not an isolated case of this principle of justification by faith, because King David did it as well. It happened to King David as well. Psalm 32, 1 and 2, David said, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and whose spirit there is no deceit." David had done the worst thing he could possibly do, we would say, wouldn't we? He actually committed adultery and even committed murder. So by the law, he was guilty. There was nothing he could do by the law. But in that psalm, he actually says he's forgiven. There's nothing he could do, but God forgave him. So amazing, really, that God forgives us when we sin and do the things. I'm not saying he wants us to do it, but when we do things, we can go to him on the basis of Scripture and we can get free and released. Why is God so pleased with our faith in him? It is because faith glorifies him. Faith gives honour to the character of God. For example, when you trust someone, you recognise that they are truthful, you recognise that they are able to do what they have promised. So then, how do we receive justification? What's the process? You must realise and confess your ungodliness. The most important thing then is to come before God and admit that we are sinners. We are all sinners, as it says in Romans 3. Don't trust in your own works, but in the grace of God. And what are the blessings then of justification? If you're willing to trust God to make you right with him, then you will experience several blessings. One, your sins will be forgiven. Hallelujah. We all need that, don't we? Yeah, we all need to know that our sins are forgiven. So as I said, you know, David was under the law and his sin was not acceptable in the law. He was guilty. Nothing he could do. But the grace of God was given to him. What other things are there? Forgiveness is actually sending your sins away. The word translated as forgiven is blessed, whose sins are covered. The word covered is an Old Testament concept. How far? Psalm 103 verse 12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." Hallelujah. Forgiveness is covering our sin. David said in verse 7 that a person is blessed whose sins are covered. The word covered is an Old Testament concept again. I've said that before. In these days, the sins were covered and not fully dealt with. But I believe that sins were uncovered and sent away for good at the cross. Jesus didn't cover up our sins. He removed them. Hallelujah. Ooh, I'm preaching myself here. I need this. I lost my place now. Forgiveness is when your sins are not imputed to your account. In verse 8, Paul also quotes David saying, Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. The Greek word translated impute is the same word translated counted or accounted. It's a bookkeep. It's actually a bookkeeping term. So you're talking about the book. You know, your things are not there. They're not written in the book. They're gone. We cannot stand before a holy and righteous God if our sins are still on our record. So David goes on to say in Psalm 130 verse 4, but there is right forgiveness for you that you may be feared. Forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. When the ungodly sinner reaches out in faith to embrace Jesus as Saviour, God hears his cry and does not impute sin to him anymore. Your sins are no longer charged to your account. Instead, they are transferred to the cross where Jesus suffered and died for them. So when we trust in Jesus, our sins will not only be forgiven, but furthermore, the righteousness of God, the righteousness of God will be credited to your account. We have already discussed this in the case of Abraham. What a deal this is. We can trade our sin for God's righteousness. Hallelujah. Again, I'll say that. If God offers you a deal like that, you'd be foolish not to accept it, wouldn't you? Well, he does offer that such a deal. Look at verse 5. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Do you know why God can credit righteousness to your account? It's because he credited our sin to Christ's account. Christ paid the price for our sin on the cross. Amen. So finally, I'd like to leave you with these thoughts this morning. Do you see yourself as right with God? Do you still feel like you are carrying guilt in your relationship with God? What are you doing to deal with that guilt? What are you doing to make things right with God? Do you want or need to be forgiven? What you need to do is confess your sin to God and trust in Christ who died for our sins on the cross. By faith in the grace of God, you can be forgiven and made right with God. Why go another day with the burden of guilt? Come to Jesus, trust in the promise of God's grace. For he is there waiting for you to forgive you. Amen.